Good evening, everyone. And if there's anyone visiting here tonight with us, we'd especially like to welcome you tonight. For our devotional time this evening, I brought in a box. I borrowed this from Luke. And thank you, Luke, for letting me borrow this. I'm taking good care of it. He got this a few years ago from an antique dealer. And I don't think it's worth very much, but I don't know. I might take it to Antiques Roadshow one day and find out for sure. But it's handy for putting small stuff in, for Legos and for random computer parts and things like that. I was hoping that this would help us to visualize our topic for this evening. A few weeks ago, I heard something interesting on the radio as I was driving down the road. The person on the radio said this: "I tried to put God in the box that I had designed." And that struck me as a rather odd thing to say. I tried to put God in a box that I had designed? What did that mean? How could the creator of the universe fit into this little box? Well, after some thought, I realized eventually what they meant by this. In our minds, we can limit God's power or influence in our lives. And we can start tonight with a familiar quote from Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps." We need to realize as human beings that we have sometimes some incorrect notions about the nature of God. Our feelings can be deceiving, and that's why it's so important for us to rely on the scriptures. We know that the word of God is reliable and does not change over time. So this evening, let's look at three examples of how we might try to put God in a box. That is to say, how we can underestimate his power in our lives. Number one, when we live our lives as a Christian only on Sunday, and then live like the rest of the world Monday through Saturday, we are putting God in a box. In essence, we have put him in a compartment only to take him out when it's convenient for us. As we read the pages of the New Testament, we see that true discipleship is so much more than this. God should influence every aspect of our lives. The Lord said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." It's interesting to note here that he uses that word daily, something we do every day. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." Jesus is calling us to be consistent in our Christian life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus said, "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." James goes on to say something similar in James chapter 3, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. "My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." We must realize that the world is watching us, and they can see in the newspapers with numerous examples of religious leaders who say one thing and do another thing, even to the extent of covering up illegal activity. We need to show them authentic Christianity. Jesus talks about our influence in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And we can see, reading just these few passages here, that God is calling us. He is wanting to be Lord of our entire life. Number two, this evening, we can limit God's power and put him in a box when we think that he is either unable or just uninterested in answering our prayers. On the one hand, we can think he's too busy to be concerned about my small problems down here on earth. On the other hand, we can doubt he is really able to provide assistance in some seemingly impossible situation. Again, let's turn to the scriptures to see that this is simply not the case. The Bible tells us over and over again that God is very interested in our prayers, and the creator of the universe has the power to make things work together. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 3, 12, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." These are just a few verses that we could look at more this evening, where God is encouraging us. He has promised to be with us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." In our prayer life, we can have boldness and confidence and know that God is listening. Jesus taught his disciples about prayer. An example of that is in Luke 18, verse 1. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And we're reminded of those famous words in Matthew chapter 7, where he tells us to keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. We could look at even more passages, but we are encouraged by the scriptures to keep on praying. We know that God is interested in our situation. When we do this, we will see how truly powerful he is. Third and finally tonight, we can limit God's power in our minds when we think, "I'm too bad of a person for God to ever forgive me. I have done so many bad things in my life, God could not possibly forgive me." Well, what does God's word have to say about this? We must remember the words of Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus died for everyone. God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish. That includes you and that includes me. The Hebrews writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, an interesting phrase. He says, "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him." The sacrifice of Christ is able to save us to the uttermost. That means his sacrifice saves to the greatest or the highest degree. Paul described himself in much the same way in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." Paul describes himself as the chiefest of sinners, and yet God's mercy toward Paul is a pattern of how we can obtain mercy today as well. We know that not only was Paul forgiven of his sin and his past mistakes, he went on to become one of the most influential Christians in the first century. We need to remember, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, that God is for us. He is on our side, verse 31. "And nothing can separate us from the love of Christ." That's verse 35. Finally, Jesus gives the invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Again, we see that Jesus uses the word all. That includes you. So in conclusion, we can see from these three examples that God is powerful and can still be working in our lives today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 describes it in this way. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So this evening, we want to encourage you to become a Christ follower today. There's no better time to make that decision than today. The Bible tells us that one day, when Jesus returns, every knee shall bow. And we want you to be ready for that day. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse number 34, first the bad news. "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." But then the good news. He says, "Therefore," in verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. What a wonderful feeling it is to be set free from the bondage of sin. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 tells us, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Belief and baptism, that's the beginning of your new life in Christ. We encourage you to obey the Lord this evening. Won't you come as we together stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are they white as snow? Are you white?